Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast here on BuffaloRumblings.com and everywhere else you go to find your podcasts. My name is John Boccacino, being joined, of course, by the venerable Jamie D'Amico, my esteemed colleague here on the podcast. Jamie, good morning.
Venerable is such a good word, and I've never had that associated with my name before. Damn, that felt good. Thank you, John.
If only there was a way on the internet to preserve this moment so you can replay it during those every now and then low moments that come around. You can have that nice little self-esteem boost out there.
I think I'm going to make it my ringtone.
Well, it's deservedly so, Jamie. You've been a part of this podcast for quite some time now, and it's been great to have you on here. And of course, we appreciate all of our fans stopping by to check out our Believe podcast. It is the Cleveland Browns week. It is an awesome week for Bills fans because if you're traveling, and I know a lot of Bills fans are making the trek down the thruway to go to a fellow Rust Belt city and see Buffalo take on Cleveland. First of all, if you've never gone to Cleveland for a Bills-Browns game, and there haven't been too many of them in their history. In fact, the last time that Buffalo traveled to Cleveland, I've had the misfortune of being there because they were some of the worst games I've ever seen in person, not even including the 6-3 debacle at Ralph Wilson Stadium back in 2000. And I think, Jamie, you were at that game, weren't you?
No, not at the 6-3 debacle, though that was possibly the worst game I've ever seen played. It looked like two Pop Warner teams out there.
I don't think we'll ever see a game where a quarterback completes two passes like Derek Anderson did, future Buffalo Bill at the time, and get a win. But that game was awful. I was at the 8-0 Blizzard game in Cleveland, which was just another miserable affair. And I was there for the start of the Jeff Toole era, believe it or not, when EJ Manuel got hurt, extending himself for a meaningless yard and ended up hurting himself pretty badly his rookie season, and Jeff Toole stepped in. And of course, we all know how glorious that Toole time era went here in Western New York.
I was there for a game that the Bills actually won, and there was an article in the Cleveland Plain Dealer the next day about how upset the Browns were that Bills fans totally took over the stadium. And in fact, we did. It was pretty fantastic. And I have never had more fun in an opposing team stadium. We were out there tailgating. 78 of us from the Bills backers of DC made the trek up there. And it was funny because, you know, when you're out in the parking lot and, you know, fans always want to talk shit to each other, but it wasn't quite like that. It was sort of like Bills fans and Browns fans would walk up. They'd be like 12 inches nose to nose, ready to start talking. And then they'd kind of go, you get it. It's great.
No, you're absolutely right, Jamie. I was going to say the same kind of experience as yours. We went there for that Thursday night game back in 2013. And, you know, Browns fans couldn't have been nicer to us. We're just walking around heading towards the stadium. They're handing out, you know, beers if you wanted to. They were talking about the team's misery and suffering. And it's almost like you have a kinship with someone who understands your suffering. You know, Cleveland fans would start to make fun of you about, you know, four straight Super Bowl losses. And you could be like, have you guys ever been to the Super Bowl? Do you know what that feeling is like? And they, of course, would automatically pipe down because, you know, they have John Elway in the drive and they have Ernest Biner in the fumble and, you know, they have their team getting taken away from them. So misery loves company. Buffalo and Cleveland are two kindred spirits and two kindred cities. And it is, if you're going to the game on Sunday, have a ball. It's an awesome venue. There's really not a bad seat in that stadium for being one of the new mega complexes of the NFL. It's an awesome venue. Have fun out there, Bills Mafia. It's going to be a fun matchup, Jamie, on Sunday of two teams that are kind of heading in opposite directions. The Bills are 6-2 and tied for second place in the AFC. The Browns are 2-6 and riding a four-game losing streak. And it's definitely been a disappointing first year for a full-time head coach, Freddie Kitchens. He's supposed to be this quarterback whisperer, which I think is a phrase that gets tossed around a little bit too much nowadays in the modern NFL. But he was supposed to work wonders with Baker Mayfield in this offense. They bring in Odell Beckham Jr. to add some life to the wide receiver core. They bring in Jarvis Landry, who we'll get to in a little bit, Bills fans. We share your hatred of this guy because he takes some dirty shots on Bills players in the past, and maybe he gets some payback coming his way on Sunday. But what, Jamie, from your view, what has gone wrong with this Browns offense?
When it comes down to it, it seems to be the right side of their offensive line. Former Buffalo Bill Wyatt Teller is starting for them, and he should not be a starter in the NFL. And when it comes down to it, Baker Mayfield isn't the most accurate passer. The guy needs some time. You know, what you don't want him to do is have to rush his throws, have to start running around when the play starts breaking down. And I think that has just prevented them from coming up with the proper chemistry he needs, because he's a bit of a work in progress himself. But he's really taken a step backward from last year, where he seemed like he was the best quarterback coming out of the respective draft. Now you would put him maybe fourth or fifth on that list. It comes down to him, but really, I think it's Freddie Kitchens. He has been bad at play design. He's been bad at sort of keeping his players under control. It seems like there's just a whole lot of chaos going on there, and I think it's kind of making its way through the entire team, and they seem a bit rudderless at the time. And, you know, not shocking considering the ownership of Jimmy Haslam. They've been the laughing stock since he's owned the team, and that's continuing. We may see another one year and done coach in Cleveland, which should never happen, but they certainly look like they've got a guy who's in over his head here. And, you know, that said, I got to tell you, this matchup really makes me nervous.
I appreciate your honesty with your assessment about the nerves and the anxiety. And we'll get to that a little bit about the matchups that Buffalo fans should really be concerned with. But I just want to say that I agree that Freddie Kitchens looks like he's completely overmatched when it comes to the head coaching game out there. This offense, we talk about Brian Daboll trying to get too cute sometimes with the Bills. Freddie Kitchens and the whole Cleveland Browns offense tries to get too cute, I feel like. They put too much of the offense on Baker Mayfield. They have a really dynamic running game with Nick Chubb, and they're getting Kareem Hunt back this week, which I don't know how much of a role he'll play against the Bills, but moving forward, he's definitely going to be, he was one of the best running backs in the league before his suspension. So I feel like Cleveland doesn't know its identity. Cleveland doesn't know and you know, the thing is, Baker Mayfield, I think he's going to be fine long-term. He was the quarterback I had the fewest questions about coming out of that 2018 draft class. This is the first matchup, of course, between the top 10 picks in Josh Allen at number 7 and Baker Mayfield at number 1. But Baker Mayfield, I think, is being asked to do way too much for this Cleveland Browns team. They're too pass heavy. They're missing one of their most underrated weapons in David Njoku, who is out with a wrist injury, and he's someone that would really give Bills fans matchup nightmares. But I think they rely too much on the passing game. They put too much on his shoulders. On first down, fun stat for you, the game within one score, the Browns pass 71% of the time. That's the third highest figure in the NFL. When you've got a capable and competent running back in Nick Chubb, I would say you ground and pound and run him on those first down plays. But instead, Cleveland has really been struggling also to open up the holes on the offensive line. You mentioned former Bill Wyatt Teller, who I agree, I've always been a fan of this guy. I like his story, but he really shouldn't be a starting. He should be a swing tackle coming off the bench, not a starter. And the Browns have a lot of holes on their offensive line. I feel like Greg Robinson is not going to win a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro nod anytime soon at the left tackle. Right tackle Chris Hubbard has been beaten consistently. He can really be a matchup advantage for the Buffalo Bills. And Wyatt Teller at right guard is really not someone's going to strike fear into the Bills defensive line. So hopefully, you know, the Bills continue their trend against Washington, where we saw the pass rush really get after Dwayne Haskins. If the Bills pass rush gets after Baker Mayfield on Sunday, I see it being a long day for the former number one overall pick.
And I think what they're going to want to do there is try to keep him in the pocket, make him beat you with his arm. The guy's really athletic. He can run around. We've seen, being Bills fans, watching Josh Allen get out of the pocket and get huge chunks of yards, we don't want that to happen. And let's keep him in there. And, you know, maybe those defensive ends need to go straight up the field and form a pocket. Now, I look at it a little bit differently than you. I think the left side of the Browns offensive line is pretty solid. I think Greg Robinson is decent, and Joel Bitonio is an excellent left guard. J.C. Treader, their center, is a solid player. You know, I think that if the running backs get in behind those guys, we might see some holes opening up. And also, you know, the heart of the Bills pass rush is really coming from that left hand side with Jerry Hughes and Jordan Phillips. You know, I think that the Browns line may be able to slow them down a bit. So we'll see how that shakes out. But, you know, we will get into that a little bit more deeply.
Now, Jamie, when everything comes down to it, we're talking here on Bill Eve, breaking down the Bills and the Browns, a big matchup for Buffalo. If Buffalo wins this game, it adds 26% odds to their chances to make the playoffs, meaning getting at 7-2 is a virtual lock that the Bills would make the playoffs in the AFC. If they lose this game, they're 6-3, and it's a big swing in momentum. Baker Mayfield, I know quarterbacks get all the attention, all the buzz in the league, but Baker Mayfield really has brought a lot of this on himself by, you know, challenging reporters and press conferences. This Cleveland Browns team cannot get out of its own way when it comes to the headlines and the social media play. You know, they're all about just going out there and making more drama for themselves than is necessary. And I think that's a good thing for this Bills team. It's going to come in there and very workmanlike. They have the exact identity of Sean McDermott, their head coach. They're out there, a working class team that really just goes out there and brings their lunch bucket, and they're not going to try to create any sort of drama or start some shit with Cleveland out there. But Baker Mayfield is kind of the antithesis of Josh Allen, and the fact that, you know, he's a lightning rod. I mean, Josh Allen is a guy teammates get behind and they want to play for, and Baker Mayfield can be very polarizing. His second year, I'll give Baker a lot of credit. He had a great debut. I felt like I saw a lot of potential out of him. I thought he was really going to be a solid quarterback. Then this year, you've seen a different Baker Mayfield. I mean, maybe part of it is because the drops that his receivers have. I believe he's second in the NFL in most drops as a quarterback. His interceptions are on the rise. He leads the league with 12 interceptions against only 7 touchdown passes. So in your mind, where do you think the blame goes for Baker Mayfield and his fallback from his rookie year? Is it solely on Freddie Kitchens not putting him in a good position to succeed? Or should he be doing more given the fact of how many weapons he has at his disposal?
Well, you talk about the sophomore slump, and that is a thing, but, you know, I think it falls on Freddie Kitchens. From what I've seen of the Browns, their offensive play design is just terrible. You'll see two receivers in the same place regularly. You know, you have suspect play calling. It really looks like Freddie Kitchens has lost any knowledge that he had previously of designing plays. Now, part of that may be that the teaching is not very good on his end. Perhaps his players aren't buying into the system and they're just kind of out there running through the motions. But, you know, somebody like Mayfield needs a strong leader. The guy's a big personality, as you said, and certainly a lightning rod, which is funny because when they're winning and he's playing well, he's, you know, he speaks from the heart. He's passionate. And when they're losing, he's a troublemaker and a malcontent. And, you know, when you have a guy like that, you have to take the good with the bad, but you also need to have a coach that he can buy into. Now, we saw that with Jim Kelly many years ago. It was Ted Marchibroda that really got Jim Kelly's ear, and he became the great Hall of Fame quarterback that we saw. And the coaches before that, you know, he kind of butted heads with them a little bit. Well, at least the offensive coordinators, I should say. But anyway, I think it entirely falls on Freddie Kitchens. I just think that he is not ready for the position that he's in right now. Maybe he can get some consulting from other coaches around the league, maybe some former coaches. But if he were my coach, and I know that stability is of the essence in the NFL, but if he were my coach, I would already be starting my search for my next head coach.
I feel like Freddie Kitchens is just not meant to be a head coach in the National Football League, much like guys like Rex Ryan are not meant to be a full-time head coach. They're good at one side of the ball, but they're better coordinators than head coaches. I think the best example of that I can give is, you know, Cleveland is riding a 4-game losing streak. They've been outscored 114-63 during those 4 contests. 3 of those losses came against the league's best teams, the San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, and New England Patriots. And then the Browns lost to the Denver Broncos. They started a guy named Brandon Allen for the Denver Broncos, which actually is a pretty cool trivia question. Last week was the first time in league history that this quarterback with the same last name, his team won 3 games with Josh Allen, Kyle Allen, and Brandon Allen. So kind of a fun little trivia nugget there. But the Browns, if they want to be a team that competes for a playoff berth, you don't lose to the Denver Broncos, who are totally in rebuilding mode here. And during that game against Denver, the Browns had a chance late to really get back in this game and drive for a game-winning score. And their best player, they were facing a 4th-down play. It was an ill-advised pass that Mayfield threw up to Jarvis Landry. Odell Beckham Jr. was kind of covered, but they could have taken a shot at Beckham, or they could have let Nick Chubb, their best playmaker and who had been gouging the Broncos in the run game, get in the game. Instead, Chubb was on the bench at the most critical moment for his team. And for me, coaches put their teams in position to succeed, and not having your best player on the field in a critical moment like that just shows that Freddie Kitchens is overmatched at this level. I know we mentioned the weapons that Baker Mayfield has to play with. I want to segue to the wide receivers and what Buffalo is going to try to do to slow down the talented but inconsistent duo of Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. Odell Beckham Jr. is one of those guys who, again, is another lightning rod. And that's why I was really concerned with Cleveland when they brought him in. Everybody wanted to anoint this team as the challengers to the Patriots and automatically put them in the AFC Championship game. But football is a strange sport. You only have 16 regular season games. It takes time to build up that chemistry. I'm not saying all of this is Odell Beckham Jr.'s fault, but you have so many polarizing personalities in that locker room, including OBJ and Jarvis Landry. And so far, I'd say the experiment has failed. You look at their numbers. OBJ has 575 receiving yards, 39 receptions, and only 1 touchdown. Very similar numbers to Jarvis Landry, 36 catches for 555 yards and 1 touchdown, mostly operating out of the slot. So I feel like Baker Mayfield is going to have a hard time against this Bills defense. It gives up 185 yards passing per game. I feel like Trey White is going to want the spotlight. He's going to want to slow down Odell Beckham Jr. That should be a matchup advantage for the Bills. Jarvis Landry could have a day going up against Taron Johnson, Saron Neal, or Kevin Johnson out of the slot, but I don't know. I feel kind of good about Buffalo's chances in the pass game and slowing down the Browns' passing offense. It's the run game that worries me a little bit more.
I absolutely agree with that, because the strength of this Bills team, the entire team, both sides of the ball, is the secondary and their ability to cover. I am 100% with you that the run absolutely scares me. And I think defensively, the Bills are going to have to probably try to sell out to stop the run. And what I mean by that is bringing the linebackers up on the line of scrimmage and stopping the run with numbers. This is Nick Chubb is, like you said, their most productive offensive player. You don't want this guy to get going, especially on first downs. This is the type of game where if Buffalo's giving up 5 yards or more on the ground on first down, they're going to be in a terrible position as a defense to not know what's coming at them the next 2 downs. This game, and I know it's a cliche, but it's going to be won or lost on first down when the Bills are on defense.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout, Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Nick Chubb is a talented back, no doubt about it. The Bills need to find a way to slow down the run game and to really contain them so he's not getting 5-plus yards a carry on first down. I think maybe this is the week that Star Latuale, you know, is able to get off and shed the blocks a little bit better and take up the double teams a little bit better. Maybe this week where we see more of a return to prominence for Ed Oliver, who didn't have a terrible game. I'll stick up for Ed Oliver a little bit for a second. Ed Oliver got, I thought, crucified last week after his performance against Washington, but I don't think Ed Oliver is having a bad rookie season at all. I think he might have hit a rookie wall, but it's not his fault that AP was running wild, in my humble opinion out there. And I feel like that the Bills' run defense, this is going to be the biggest test that they've had so far to date. I wasn't that scared by Philadelphia's running backs. I am scared of what Nick Chubb can do against this unit, but I think the Bills know what's facing them. I think the adjustments, whatever they did in the second half to hold AP to 7 yards on 8 carries, really is going to carry over on Sunday. And I like the way that Buffalo's matchup, you know, presents on that side of it, because again, Nick Chubb is a difference maker and he's a playmaker, and you really don't want to let them dictate the tempo by running the ball and giving Baker Mayfield manageable second and third situations.
100% agree on that. So if we can put Baker Mayfield behind the sticks on second and third down, I like the Bills' chances. If the Bills are giving up chunks on the ground on first down, I actually don't like their chances in this game. And it's going to come down to that to me.
We talked about the Cleveland offensive line and having some question marks along there. Buffalo's offensive line, luckily for the Bills, everybody is healthy. Everybody in this entire team outside of Harrison Phillips is healthy and at full strength for this matchup. And this is going to be a huge test flipping the field for right tackle Cody Ford and Ty-in Shecky to see, because they're going to have their hands full with Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is one of the most disruptive pass rushers in the league. He is someone who can be a game changer and get after your quarterback in a second and a half or less and really force chaos, you know, for the Bills offense out there. So switching things up to the defensive side of things for Cleveland and the Bills offense, Jamie, how worried are you about Myles Garrett? And do you think that Cody Ford and Ty-in Shecky, who apparently have been working really well together this week, according to head coach Sean McDermott, how well can they handle the pressure of slowing down one of the best edge rushers in Myles Garrett?
Well, you know, Myles Garrett is a freak. He's what Mario Williams could have been if Mario Williams had any desire to be a great player. Just an incredible athlete, incredibly strong. He's big, he's fast, and he's got 10 sacks on the season already, which, unbelievable, right? What are they going to do? Well, I think first things first, Cody Ford needs to stay on the bench. They can talk all about how well they're doing in practice together, but you need the veteran. He's just a far superior player. And am I concerned? Yeah, absolutely. Luckily, that's also the side of the field that the tight end typically lines up. So I think you're going to see a lot of help because he's an absolute game changer. And the one thing the Bills cannot allow them to do is to allow the game to be taken over by a guy like Myles Garrett. Now, let's be honest, their entire defensive line is pretty good. They've got Richard Sheldon. They have Olivier Vernon, who may or may not play this week due to injury. And Larry Ogunjobi is also a quality player at defensive end. You know, the offensive line really needs to step up, and at times they've been inconsistent this year. We're seeing the play of John Feliciano kind of drop off as the season goes on. I love his attitude out there, you know, solid run blocker, but, you know, if they're running stunts, if they're, you know, really using that athleticism to get inside of Feliciano, I think you're going to see some problems there. And, you know, we did see last week against Washington that, you know, big defensive linemen can give the Bills offensive line some fits. And, you know, these guys may not be the biggest, but they are amongst the most athletic linemen that the Bills are going to face all season. What are your thoughts?
I do have some breaking news to give you, Jamie, here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. As of this recording, Olivier Vernon has been ruled out for the game on Sunday, which is good news for Deion Dawkins, who will not have his hands full with, again, another talented edge rusher out there. Myles Garrett, look, he is a complete dominant force out there. He has, what, 10 sacks this year. He's got 13 tackles for a loss. He's somebody the Bills fans need to be aware of every single time he's on the field. I want to see maybe Lee Smith comes over and chips and gives him an extra block out there to try to give some more time for Josh to get the ball downfield to the talented weapons that Buffalo has. I feel like he needs to be the guy who is paid the most attention to on the defensive line, because clearly he is a game changer. And with Vernon out, I think the Bills can afford to alter their game plan a little bit more to make sure that the top overall pick out of 2017 is not in the backfield every single play. Because if Myles Garrett gets after it and gets going early on, this is really going to be a tough matchup for Buffalo. Because, you know, Josh Allen, as much progress as he has made this year, and he's the most effective red zone quarterback, he's the best fourth quarter quarterback, but he is also the worst quarterback when it comes to being under duress. And I would just hate to see Myles Garrett get off his blocks early and really get after it and cause Josh into an interception or two early on, because Josh Allen has done a really good job the last 4 weeks, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's done a great job limiting the turnovers. He's fumbling the ball more than Bills fans want to see, but I think he can work on that. But if Garrett is getting in the backfield in a hurry, it's going to be a tough day on Sunday. So I hope that Buffalo uses, like you said, their tight ends a little bit more to help provide some protection. I want to see more of Devin Singletary. You know, he did such a great job last week against Washington. I want to see him, you know, getting again 15, 20 carries, getting looks out of the backfield and screen passes and little wheel routes, because I think that the Bills can take advantage if they're not getting pressured and harassed by the front four for Cleveland. And with, again, Vernon out for the game, I think there's an opportunity for Buffalo to take advantage of Cleveland on defense.
So the Cleveland cornerbacks, they are very talented. Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams. Greedy Williams was a second round pick this year and an absolute steal at that point in the draft. Now, with all the talent they have, how do you feel the Bills receivers match up against them?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jamie. I feel like, yeah, Greedy Williams was an absolute steal for Cleveland. He's got a great name. He's a real good ball-hawking cornerback out there. And I feel like this is going to be a challenge for John Brown. John Brown has been the best free agent signing that the Bills have had by far this year. He's, you know, really a solid possession guy. He's a deep threat if Josh can ever connect on the deep balls out there. And I feel like it's going to be key for Josh Allen and John Brown to get on the same page and get some good chemistry going against this Cleveland secondary, because Cole Beasley in the slot can have a field day for himself too, but I think John Brown is the one who is my offensive MVP to watch, where I expect him to go for, you know, 80 yards receiving on 5 or 6 catches, find the end zone and get the Bills some quality possessions in the red zone. And I think it's a tough matchup, but I like what the Bills bring. It's not like we're looking on a couple of rookie wide receivers. These are veterans who know how to handle some of the best secondary players in the league. And I think that Buffalo can do well in this situation out here. Now, will they? I mean, we'll see what happens. It all depends, again, on how well the offensive line is able to hold up and give Josh time to throw. You know, if he only has 2 seconds, then those matchup, the advantages go to the corners for Cleveland. But if he can sit back and look through his reads and progress through the field and find the open receiver, I like Buffalo's receivers to win those matchups. How about you?
Well, I am looking at one particular receiver that you haven't mentioned, Duke Williams. Now, these corners for Cleveland are incredibly athletic. They're fast, they're quick, they've got good hands, but they're slightly built. They're not big guys. And I feel like if ever Duke Williams is going to have a breakout game. It's going to be using his big frame against cornerbacks that are this size. What I'd really like to see is some quick slants going to him, just so he gets a couple steps inside and puts the cornerbacks on his back hip, catches the ball there, and sees what he can do with it after the catch. I think I'd also like to see some jump balls and some corner routes to him as well, because I think that size advantage is going to be such that we could see the first career 100-yard game out of Duke Williams, and that's something I think Bills fans would be very excited about.
Oh, sign me up every single day for that, Jamie, and especially if the Bills can try out their, you know, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Duke Williams, Dawson Knox at tight end, Devin Singletary. I mean, that presents a matchup nightmare to me if you're the Cleveland Browns trying to slow down the Buffalo Bills on offense. I think there's advantages. I think Buffalo can definitely take advantage of what Cleveland presents. I think Cleveland is a dangerous team at 2-6. I think that they definitely should not be taken lightly, but I don't see this Bills team taking Cleveland lightly. I don't see them assuming that they're going to roll over or get the win, because Cleveland has a lot of talent out there. They just have been kind of a dumpster fire for the last 4 weeks, which is a great segue into our predictions bound to go wrong for Sunday as Buffalo travels to Cleveland looking to get their 7th win on the year. Jamie, what do you see happening in week 10? Do you see the Bills getting that 7th win?
You know, I'm really concerned about this game, and leading into it, I was thinking that this is just a bad matchup along the line of scrimmage for the Buffalo Bills. I was going to predict that they're going to lose, but you've sort of convinced me to go the other way. Now, I've only been wrong about one prediction so far this year, so maybe let's keep that going, and I see the Bills winning this game by a score of 20-13.
I like it, Jamie. I can be persuasive here on Bill Eve, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I like your prediction. I don't see this being a high scoring track meet. These are both very good defenses, offenses that can be turnover prone. I like Josh Allen taking that next step forward. I like Bills relying more on Devin Singletary once again against Cleveland. I see Buffalo traveling to Cleveland and escaping it with a 24-20 victory. Buffalo gets another fourth quarter comeback win from Josh Allen. It's going to be an exciting matchup, but I see Buffalo getting to 7-2 and earning another huge win in conference play, which of course could be a big factor with the tiebreakers down the road. So Jamie, thanks for your input there. He has Buffalo winning 20-13. I have them winning 24-20. You can clap back at us on Twitter and on social media by following at Buff Rumblings. Jamie is at the Jamie D'Amico, and I am at John Boccacino. For my colleague Jamie D'Amico, the venerable Jamie D'Amico, one more time for the record books. That'll put a nice little bow here on Bill Eve, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. We'll be back next week recapping the game.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.